It'd be good to be in church. It's good to be in His presence. We love you all this morning. Glad that you're here. And we're looking forward to what God has in store for us. Go to Luke chapter 8, if you would. Luke chapter 8. And I have a very simple thought this morning. And actually, this thought I've had on my heart for a while. But last night, I was able, as I mentioned to you, there was a little youth revival there in Edenville, Carolina. It's actually in Tyner. Nobody knows where that is, so it's actually, I say Eden, so you kind of have a clue where it's at. I was there, and last night when we got back and got a little time to spend with the Lord. It was about 11 o'clock last night. I had some thoughts. I thought I was going to preach, but 11 o'clock last night, this came to my mind, and these verses and this question. I have a question this morning I want to preach to you about, and we'll find it in these verses in Luke chapter 8. And verse 22 is where we're going to begin reading at this morning. And just want to share this with you and trust God to help us. Luke 8 and 22. Now it came to pass on a certain day that he went into a ship with his disciples, and he said unto them, Let us go over unto the other side of the lake. And they launched forth. But as they sailed, he fell asleep. And there came down a storm of wind over the lake. They were filled with water and were in jeopardy. He came to him and awoke him, saying, Master, Master, we perished. And he arose and rebuked the wind and the raging of the water. And they ceased, and there was a calm. And he said unto them, Where is your faith? Isn't that a pretty big question? Where is your faith? And they being afraid of wonder, saying one to another, What manner of man is this? They commanded even the winds and the water, and they obeyed him. I want to preach to you this morning on that. Where is your faith? That's an important question, and you need to answer it. Where is your faith? Let's ask God to be with us. Dear Heavenly Father, I ask you, Lord, this evening that you would help us this morning, that you would help us. As we just try to answer this question, God, we all must search our hearts. We must look within ourselves. And I ask you right now, Lord, that you come by, Lord, that everyone would identify, everyone would locate where their faith is. We're trusting you, Lord God, that you would minister this morning and just in the next few moments, God, be with us in Jesus' name. Amen. Where is your faith? Well, last night as I was praying, like I said, it was around 11 o'clock, and I got down and was praying there at the house. I was just asking God for unction. I try to do that before I get into the pulpit. It's nice to have a sermon. It's nice to have direction. But my, we need the unction of the Holy Ghost in order to preach His Word. There's a lot of sermons this morning that will be preached. How many of those messages that are anointed, I don't know. And between God and the preacher. Amen. But I always ask God for anointing, for direction, for unction as we get into the pulpit. And I was praying. And yesterday I went and seen my grandmother who had a knee replacement recently, and there's some other things. She had some cancer on her face that had to be cut off and all these things, a lot going on in her life. And I remember praying for her. My daughter, just the last few days, had a fever that was like 101 and not really any other symptoms, but a fever. I was praying for her, and the Lord asked this question in my heart, Where is your faith? We know here in this passage that Jesus proposes that he and his disciples cross over to the other side. You can read that in many of the gospel accounts here. It was his idea, and they got in the boat to begin to sail across. And I like what the passages say, that Jesus simply fell asleep. Now, how many of us ever just fell asleep before? It happens, and you're tired in body, and you just kind of go to sleep, and that's what happens right here. And then all of a sudden, the Bible lets us know there's a huge storm that arises. The boat begins to take in water. We read that here in these verses. But the amazing thing is, Jesus is still asleep. Amen. I can sleep pretty good on a couch and a recliner and a bed. But I've been on a boat before in a storm, a major storm. But to be able to sleep in the middle of a storm, you have to have some special kind of peace. I'll tell you that, to be able to sleep in a storm. But Jesus, as he awakes, and we know the cries of the disciples, you read it in the different, Carest not thou that I perish. You know, they're kind of just worried. They wake the Master and ask him that question. Do you even care that we are perishing? And Jesus awakes, and he rebukes the storm, and everything is calm. But then Jesus turns to the fearful disciples and asks them a very simple question. Where is your your faith? Now that's the question again that I want to focus on here this morning. And as I begin reading the different accounts, the harmony of the Gospels, there's three different accounts that this is mentioned there in the Bible, and you can read them there in the Gospel there. But the basic thing is Jesus asks three different questions as you read the different accounts here about the storm and the disciples and their fear. But before, in the book of Matthew, before Jesus ever calms the storm, I want you to get this. The question that he asks before he ever calms the storm, he looks at them in Matthew 8:26 and says this, "Why are ye fearful, O ye of little faith?" Now it's kind of one of those questions. You know, in the middle of this storm, there's waves, and remember what the Bible says, they're taking on water. And I'm not a fisherman by trade, and I've never navigated any vessels, anything other than just a trolling motor in a pond. But I will tell you this, when a boat has water on the inside, it's a bad thing. I've come to that conclusion that that's not what you want. You want the water to be out there, okay? You don't want the water to be inside of the boat. But Jesus, when he awakes and they awaken him, he asks this question, "Why are you fearful?" Almost as if the storm and the waves and the clouds and the boat with the water on the inside was no reason to be afraid when Jesus is in the boat. He asks him, "What are you afraid of? What are you so fearful of?" But then he talks about the measure of their faith. Now get this, because we do know that it is a biblical thought, it is a truth, that there's different measures of faith in the Bible. There's some people that had little faith, there's some people that had no faith, and then there's some people like the centurion that came to Jesus. Jesus said that I hadn't seen any greater faith than all of Israel. So we know that there are different measures of faith, and I would ask you the question this morning, what is your faith meter like? You know the gas tank there in your car, you have that little meter there. It says empty or full, and we always know that the fuller the better, which means you can go further, but every now and then it gets empty, and I know I probably drive some people crazy, but I've met people before, it never gets under half a tank, but I don't know why it is. I wait for the light to come on to get some gas. All right, I'm just going to tell on myself, and you can't say it's a sin or it's right or wrong. It just happens every now and then. But I will tell you this, if you ever buy a Honda, mine doesn't, the two that I've ever owned, it doesn't beep to let you know when the gas light is on. So it is a good habit to look at it every now and then. There's no warning there, there's no beeping, and every now and then, all of a sudden you realize that you're there, and you hope that you can get to where you're going. But we realize that when it's on empty, it is not good. But I know that's a secular example, but nevertheless, when you don't have any faith, it is a horrible tragedy in life. Just like not having gas in the vehicle, you will not get where you need to go. If you do not have faith in your life, and if you don't have enough of it, you're not going to finish this walk with the Lord like you need to finish it. I do believe, brothers and sisters, please hear me today, as I felt this so urgently in my heart, I'm searching my own heart last night, I'm praying this morning for the service, as I'm asking this question, God, I believe in my own life, there's times that there's more that I have suffered in some way or another because I should have shown more faith in certain situations. We can only ask the question. I know it's God's will to do things a certain way at certain times, but we have to be careful that we don't become so rigid and so dead that we don't believe that if we show forth great faith as a church and as an individual, that God could not do more if we had more faith. I have to believe that in the Bible. There's times that he said they have little faith, but there's times that he said they had great faith. So I would ask you tonight, how much faith do you have? Do you have a little faith? Do you have a lot of faith? Do you have no faith? The disciples' faith fainted in the storm. Here it is, they're trying with the scenario, this situation. And here it is, they almost fell in this. Proverbs 24:10 even says, if thou faint in the day of adversity, thy strength is small. How strong is your faith this morning? How much faith do you have? We could do more right here at this church if we fasted and prayed enough that we all stayed full of faith. Okay, so the second thing we look at here, and this is found
actually in the book of Mark. This is the second question that he asked, and this is after he calmed the storm. Mark 4:40, he says this, "How is it that you have no faith?" I want you to notice that. Matthew, same storm, little faith. Mark says, "You have no faith." So you say, "Brother Derek, is that a contradiction?" No. You can have faith and you can lose it. You can be trusting and then not trust. You can, you just like a gas tank on a car. It can go full, half tank, quarter tank, eighth of tank, gas light, empty. It can depreciate. It can leave. It can leave, and you need to be reassured, or you need to fill up at the gas station, or you need to pray. You need to read the words. You need to trust. That's what happened in these disciples. And you can preach it the way you want to, but the way I envision this is: you have these disciples. They have witnessed miracle after miracle, demons being cast out. They get inside this boat, and their faith meter is on full, and they think, "Man, let's go to the other side." That's what Jesus said. But as the storm begins to come, all of a sudden the gas hand or the faith hand begins to get lower and lower and lower. And all of a sudden they're in a storm, and they're maybe at first they said, "You know what? Let's take the sails in. Let's be careful. And maybe we can row a little harder, get to where we're going." But you know, Jesus is still sleeping, and here it is. But it's getting lower and lower to where Jesus finally rebukes them when they wake them up. He says, "You have little faith." And after the storm, he said, "You have no faith," which means it's getting lower and lower. Brothers and sisters, can I tell you a truth that is scriptural? In life, if you let it, you can begin to allow your faith to waver, and little by little, next thing you know, through the storms of life and tragedies of life, your faith begins to get less and less. But God wants us in life to express great faith, even in the worst of storms and the worst of situations. So understand, in Matthew, when they had little faith, that's talking about the measure of their faith. But then it talks about in Mark 4:40, they have no faith, so it's not the measure of faith, but they have missing faith. Once again, this morning, we hear a good report about one that had cancer. Now the doctor says they don't have cancer. Right. I don't know about you, my faith kind of went up a little bit when I heard that. Yes. Brother James, I believe God can touch his neck.
Amen.
I believe God can touch Brother Fred.
Yes.
Or Crawford, and the different ones. You know, I can name them, the different ones that need a touch. But we need to allow God to build our faith. That's one of the reasons we come to church. But let's move on to our thought here this morning. Then he asked them in Luke 8:25 about the whereabouts of their faith. He says, "Where is your faith?" Now this speaks not of the measure of faith, but the missing faith. But now he's asking them as if they have misplaced their faith. It is the misplacing of faith that we see here. He's basically asking them, "Where is it located at? Where is your faith? Is your faith, are you looking at the winds and the waters, and you see the water coming inside the boat? But yet you have an option. You can look at all of that, or you can look over there at Jesus who's asleep in the boat." And the question is your faith in the power of the storm and your own ability and what you can see just with a natural eye? Or can you not look down there and see Jesus asleep just like nothing's going on? And there you can look at him. And the question is, where is your faith this morning? If we're not careful, we can lose faith so easy in the smallest things of life. We're all guilty of it. I appreciate your faithfulness. I believe some of you are just as strong as the strong. But if we're honest, there's times we need God to renew our faith.
Yes.
We need God to touch it.
Yes.
Because I've had those weeks and I've had those days where it just seemed like believing, the Bible says it, but man, you reach inside your heart and you're like, "God, help me. Help me." Here we have to understand the characteristics of faith. We know that without faith it is what? Impossible to please God. If it was, "I want to please God, I want to please God," we'll have faith. Believe Him, trust Him. And we know that all people, and we have realized in 2 Thessalonians 3:2, even mentions that some people don't even have faith. There's some people that don't even have it at all. They don't believe. But point here this morning. Faith is not the natural endowment embedded in your DNA. I wish that I somehow could have the faith of somebody else, like it was in my DNA or something, or if I could take a faith vitamin or something to kind of boost that in my life. Maybe it was a chemical. That faith would be nice, because we would do everything we can to foster that. But I want to tell you, it's not a natural thing. The Bible tells us that faith is a gift of God. You find that in Ephesians 2 and 8, that faith is a gift of God. You can even read it as a gift of the Spirit when it's operating in a miraculous way. We need God to help us in our faith.
Amen.
You believe because God has enabled you to believe. God's allowed you to. He's touched you. You have a will, yes. But when you say yes to God and you allow Him to come into your life, you realize that gift of faith is something that is real. It is given to His children in measure. And we understand that it is something that can increase in our life. Without it, we are lost. But if we're not careful, understand this. If you don't have faith, you are lost. But if you have faith and you allow it to be what it needs to be, you can move mountains and you can see great miracles. Only in if you have faith. But I've learned a few things in life about storms and about faith. True faith is not denying that the storm is there. I don't care how long you stand in the boat and say it's not raining, the winds are not blowing, it's not raining, the winds are not blowing, and all of a sudden the water in the boat's getting deeper and deeper. The water's not in the boat. The water's not in the boat. It's not raining. The wind's not blowing. Yes, it is. You know, that's actually what Scientology believes. They believe all suffering is a myth. Okay, you have cancer. No, you don't have cancer. Cancer's not real. I don't have cancer. Cancer's not real. That's not what faith is. It's not denying that it's real. And that's what we have to be careful, even in the name of claim it much, because I'll tell you, you know, if you have this, just say you don't have it enough times if you don't have it. Don't you wish that would be? I have no debt. Wouldn't that be nice? Right? Now, you can get to the place you have no debt. But guess what? I don't care how many times you say you have no debt. If you have it, you have it. But we can believe, yes, the storm is there. Okay? That's a fact. That you, having faith is not saying it's not there, but having faith is this: you look at the storm, then you look at Jesus, and when you look at Jesus, you're looking at Jesus and say, you know what? Yes, the storm is there, but Jesus is here too.
Yeah.
And Jesus is greater than my storm. That's what faith really is. It's not some mystical denial of what is real. None of those things are there. Sickness is real. Death is real. Doesn't matter how much you deny those things, some of those things will happen in your life, but it's looking at Jesus and saying, no matter what happens, yes, all those things are real, but I believe that God is in control and He can do what He wants to do. Yes, the circumstances are there, but so is Jesus, and Jesus is in control of my life. Second thought I had about true faith. True faith is not trusting in your own ability to calm the storm. I don't care if Peter would have got up on that boat and said, go away, storm, go away. Rain, rain, go away. Come again another day. I don't care if one of them, it wouldn't matter with their own ability. Right now it was beyond their ability to row the oars. Right now it was beyond their ability to be a good fisherman. It was beyond that. They needed to have faith. It's looking to God and it's trusting Him. But I also learned this about storms as well. Storms have the ability to reveal the measure of our faith and who our faith is in. Everybody has faith until there's a storm. Everybody has faith until everything goes south. It's easy to say you have faith when you're not in the valley. And you're up there on the mountain and you say, look at the scenery. Make a cup of coffee. I like this cabin up here. I think I'll stay up here a while. But it's another thing when everything's going wrong. And you're like Job and you realize everything's going wrong. And you may even have some of these massive questions that you don't understand, but you know God knows where you are and what you're going through. That's what faith really is. It's trusting Him. It reveals the measure of your faith. So hear me today, because if we're not careful, we can mislabel the valleys. We say valley builds our faith. Valleys can build our faith, which is, there's some truth in that. But I would say more times than not, valleys actually reveal our faith.
Yes.
It's just like a boxer that gets in the ring. He don't just show up one day and get in the ring and he's the champion. Never put on boxing gloves, never been to the gym, never jump rope, never hit that speed bag thing. You know what I'm talking about. Never ran a mile, never conditioned his breathing, never learned how to walk, never learned how to throw a haymaker or uppercut. He's never done none of these things. But he's just going to show up one day, get the boxing ring, and they're going to say, man, he's just a champion. No, what makes a champion in the boxing ring is what he does before he ever gets there. And I want to tell you, brothers and sisters, what makes you victorious in the valleys and the trials is what you're conditioning yourself for before you ever get there. I want to let you know, when you're in the middle of the storm or in the middle of the trial of your life, that's not the time to begin to do the fake calisthenics. That's not the time to begin to exercise in your fake muscles. No, you need to be doing that now before you ever get there. You need to be just settling in your heart now. No matter what comes in the future, I'm going to fundamentally believe in God by the time that I get there. I need to already believe. So we see Jesus here as our great example. Here's a storm. Look at the parallel. You have these disciples. They're looking around, they're frantic, they're screaming, basically they're worried, and Jesus is over there asleep. Like he's on the nicest mattress that they've ever stolen. I mean, he's just over there, he's asleep, and you know, he's just peaceful. I want to tell you, in order to go to sleep, you've got to have peace. In reality, let me give you an example. If you're at your house, and this has actually happened in the great city of Anton, and you hear gunshots at distance. It takes a few minutes to get to bed. To be honest with you. What I mean by that is, where are they coming from? So I'm getting on the Facebook page there of our community. Anybody else hear these shots? I heard the shots. Where are they coming from? Oh, they come over here close to your house. And I'm like, oh, no. And then you find out somebody says, oh, the neighbor's doing fireworks again. And you're like, oh, it's just fireworks. Go to bed. You need peace. You need tranquility. You need to have a settledness and a calmness in your spirit. So you understand, that's the unique thing about the storm. It's one thing when the storm is out there, but when you let the storm get in your heart, and you let the storm get in your mind, all of a sudden your faith meter begins to deteriorate. And instead of looking at Jesus, you're looking at the storm, and you need to understand here today, Jesus is our example. We see his humanity here. He's tired. He's asleep, but he's trusting the Father, just like we need to trust the Father as well. And thank God we do see this example in the book of Acts. Peter's in prison and he's asleep. And the next day he's supposed to die. We see that living in the Old Testament. But I want you to notice another thing about this. Jesus rebukes two things. He wakes up and he looks at the storm and he rebukes it. And it says, all of a sudden, there is what a great calm. But that's not the only thing he rebukes. He then rebukes the disciples and asks them questions, where is your faith? Now, here's the difference, all right? We show you a modern mindset of who Jesus is to who Jesus really was. This is how we think Jesus should operate, all right? Jesus should do it this way. We're going through a storm, and we're waiting for Jesus just to show up and pat us on the back. I know. This is a storm. I know it's scary out there. And you know what? I understand. You know, I get scared too. It's okay. That's what we think Jesus should be all the time. We think Jesus should just be this great, just the person who shows up, and all of a sudden, you know, I understand. If you're having a bad day, bad days happen. Thank God that the Holy Ghost does that at times. But I tell you this, there's times in your life you should show faith and you don't. And please quit trying to put the demand on Christ to come in your life, pat you on the back, rub your head, and say, no, you're unbelief. You hadn't read the Bible in a while, prayed, and you're in the middle of the storm, and now you're full of doubt. You know, I understand that's going to happen. No, he looks at you and says, no, where's your faith at? That's a rebuke. It's not a blessing. He's asking us where our faith is. And so I'm going to ask you again this morning, where's your faith? Some of you don't know every situation all the time, but sometimes we wait for Jesus just to show up and just to pat us on the back. And, you know, I hope, just Jesus is passing on the back. And he will do that at times in situations where that's needed. did. But at times, you don't need a pat on the back. Sometimes you need a little tap on top of the head and say, look, son, wake up and understand this. You need to have faith. Where is your faith at? We need to quit asking God to bless our doubts. We need to quit asking God to be sympathetic in our life when we don't have faith, when we should have faith. And he said, Brother Derek, that's pretty hard. The disciples probably thought the same thing. Jesus, you know, there's water in the boat. What do you mean, where's our faith? There's water in the boat. And Jesus could say, well, so am I. So am I. Brothers and sisters, what I'm trying to tell you is you can misplace your faith. And Jesus had every right when he's sitting there. He's right there. You can trust him. And he's giving you promises. But yet you look at everything else and you're fearful and you will not believe him when you can completely believe him. You can trust him and he's right there. Pat me on the back, Jesus. No. Where is your faith? My, what a challenge. What a convicting thought here today. And you must answer the question, because that's what we are. Because once again, if we do not allow our faith to grow, if we do not bolster our faith, if we do not pray and read and believe, we cannot expect God just to continue to bless us when we never show any faith in life. Where is your faith? Here it describes faith as a possession. He wants to know where you have placed it in faith. I want you to picture this. I don't have any things to good example to hold around and say, this is my faith. But where's your faith at? And I said I don't have a good example. Let's use a tissue box. Say this was your faith. You have an option to embrace it, to foster it, to take care of it. But I'm telling you what we often do throughout the week. We set it around. We disconnect from it. We do not let it grow. We do not embrace it. And we come to church on Sunday and we pick it up and Jesus is good and God's going to bless and amen, hallelujah, preach it, Brother Derek, let's have faith. And then Monday comes around, we set it down somewhere and we're like, I don't understand life. I don't know if I can make it another day. Yeah, you can. What's being preached to you at church? Probably 90% of the songs that we sing is about trusting and believing. That's what Sunday school's about. Where is your faith? You must ask yourself that question. And here today in this altar service, I want us to pray two prayers. Number one, it says in Luke 17:5, the apostle said unto the Lord, increase our faith. And then he goes on to say, and the Lord said, if you have the faith as a grain of a mustard seed, you might say unto the tree, be thou plucked up by the root, and be thou planted in the sea, and it should obey you. He said, if you have a mustard seed faith. I was telling Brother Neff the other day, I used to have in front of my Bible a mustard seed taped in front of my Bible. I don't know which state it was in. Well, where I was at, I preached enough churches now that some of the places I've been, they all run together. But I remember one time I was at a church and I was preparing for service that night. I was praying and I was standing behind the pulpit just like this, just nobody was there but me, looking over my notes, and I looked down and they had a whole jar full of mustard seeds. And I asked the pastor, I said, what are these mustard seeds for? He said, just simply, when somebody's having a tough day or somebody's praying about something, he said, I'll take a mustard seed and pass it to them. He said, the Bible said, if you have faith like a mustard seed, then God can do great and mighty things. I thought to myself, you ever seen a mustard seed? Everybody's seen a mustard seed before. How small it is. But yet, isn't it sad that sometimes we don't even show forth that much faith? That's like the bare minimum to see God do something. Forget the mustard seed. I want to have a mustard tree faith.
Amen.
I want to see it grow. I want to see it blossom. And I want to see more things happen. Lord, who wants to pray that with today? Lord, increase my faith. Second prayer we have to pray today is this. And straightway, and it says in Mark 9:24, we We know the story, this demon-possessed child, and father of the child cried out and said in tears, "Lord, I believe. Help thou my unbelief." Isn't that a prayer? Lord, help me. I'm going to pray in these altars. Only 11:55. I knew this was going to be short, but I didn't say that because when I say it's short, it ends up being long. But I only told the truth, I said. And last night, this is my little testimony with this sermon. I went to see my grandmother yesterday. One grandma was sitting here in the choir, my grandma Ramona. I mean, she's got a lot going on physically. And her sister, we call her Aunt Weezy, is sitting in this chair. Now I'm telling you, they're both getting pretty feeble. And they like to hang together, even though they can't help each other. I often joke, I say, "Aunt Louise," I said, "you know, you're going to pick her up and she falls." And that's actually happened where they both end up falling. It's amazing. When I prayed for them, I grabbed both their hands and I felt faith rise up in my heart. And to the older ladies, I began to pray. I said, "God, touch them." And I felt squeeze my hand. As two old saints of God are still trusting God, even in difficult times. But last night I began to pray as I got home. My daughter was in the other room with 102 temperature. She's had it for 24 hours, a little bit longer. No other symptoms. And every parent knows what I mean. You know, you try not to think worse and you just hope it's something simple. But you hear things all the time. I've heard little kids having temperatures, go to the doctor, they got cancer. You pray, and God protect them, be with them. And the Lord asked me where my faith was. So I walked in that room and put my hands on my daughter's back. She was asleep. She's burning up with a fever. And she had not broken the fever in 24 hours. And I prayed. That was about 11 o'clock. I went and laid down. My wife came to bed at 11:30, so her fever broke. Now, we're not careful. We can say it's just coincidence. Or, you know, you hear a Tylenol telling you, felt the Holy Ghost prompt my heart to get up in there and lay hands on my daughter. So from two elder ladies sitting in the house to a three-year-old laying in the bed with a fever, where is my faith? Where is my faith? Then we come to church. Somebody had cancer. Doctor went in. No cancer in that lung. Can't explain it. Somebody said, "Well, misdiagnosis, you're crazy." Where is your faith? Stand your feet this morning if you would. Where's your faith at, church? I'm asking you a question. I'm demanding an answer, as Christ demanded an answer from his disciples. Where is your faith? Sister Morgan, if we go to the piano, and thank you for helping us. Where's your faith at? Now, I thank God that sometimes that, you know, I think of the, get back over here so you can hear me. Think of the situation my daughter, it's a fever. You know what? God can do it. I've often wondered, which one of my kids gets sick of a major disease and sickness and all these things? And we hear all this stuff. And Brother Gross in Maryland, who's preached his whole life. When I was a young man, Brother Gross would sit up behind his pulpit and say something like this: "If you never even try to trust God for a headache, what makes you think you can always trust God for cancer?" Now, he's not anti-medicine. It doesn't mean you can't ever take a Tylenol, but I'll tell you this. It's good to grow your faith. Yeah. But you know, somebody even said one time, well, you know, Brother Gross might have to live that one day. He is. He's got two tumors. He was supposed to be dead 2 years ago. He's trusting God. I have to believe that at one point or another, he trusted God for a headache. Because the doctor said he should have been dead with cancer 2 years ago. Like I said, I've already shared this with you. He goes to the doctor, "How you doing?" "Just got two friends. They're called tumors. They're hanging around." Not a bit of doubt that I've ever seen. And that his immediate family, his children don't even see it. His wife's the only one that's ever said before, "He's had a tough day every now and then." But I don't see that. How can Brother Gross trust God at such a later stage of a disease? Because he allowed his faith to grow. How many knows that we need to do that?
Yeah.
That's all I'm asking you today. So, Brother Derek, do you believe we should have faith to move mountains? Well, I believe you should have faith like a mustard seed. If you have faith like a mustard seed, that's potential to move mountains. That's just a little bit of faith. So, yes, I do believe we can see more than what we see. Help me, God. Can we say that first? God, help me. Help me, Holy Ghost. Where is your faith? Where is your faith? Find your blessed praise.